looks like nearly everyone is done reading the passage. Again, a very familiar story containing a father, two sons, and one servant who gets a speaking part. Beyond that, we start stretching it. You've got the pigs and the prostitutes in the faraway country. But the characters that the story really focuses in on are the father and the two sons. What is the major contrast in this parable between? Major contrast. Yes, between the two sons and the one who stays home and the one who goes away to a far country squandering his living. However, noting that the story is contrasting these two sons, did you also notice that there is something that they both have in common? Did anyone notice as you read through what the two sons have in common with each other? Take just a moment with the people seated near you that you read the story through with and discuss what do the two sons have in common with each other, even though they are so vastly different in their actions. You've got 30 seconds, and I'll call you back. I don't hear any talking yet. Oh, good. Someone started. Your 30 seconds are actually twice up now, but since I don't hear anyone talking, I wonder if you've made any headway. You need 30 more seconds now that you've looked back through the story? Or is anybody ready with a response? What do they have in common? Come on, you don't need to be... All right, well, let's hear the different things. They have their father in common. All right, well, that's kind of a no-brainer, but it's worth noting, okay? They have their father in common. Well, in some sense, both expect to. One has demanded his and taken off with it. The other one is still living at home. Right? There's a... Well, we'll come to that. There is an inheritance connection with being sons of the same father. All right? Anything else? You said they're both... Why did you say that?
I want what is mine right now.
Mm-hmm.
The older son is jealous and selfish because I have been here all this time and you never even gave me a goat.
All right.
I need to have a party with my friends.
It's not actually that different of an attitude, is it, from his brother, even though he didn't carry out the same activities that his brother did. All right? They are similar in attitude, and particularly in attitude toward whom? Toward their father. Both sons are estranged from their father. Even though one is physically far for much of the story, and the other is physically near, both of them in their hearts, at least as the story begins, are far and estranged from their father. Was there another? You look like you were about to speak, Mike.
No, just
piecing it together, all right? Though both sons are very different, they have one thing in common, and that is a poor relationship with their father, exhibited in some selfish attitudes toward their inheritance and other things that they have in common. All right. Both are estranged from their father with good reason or not? There does not appear to be any good reason. And so when we say they're estranged from their father, we really are saying they don't appreciate, understand, they don't even really know him. They misunderstand all of the good things that he has done and look at them as though they're bad things. Both sons. Well, we get the impression as we go through the story that there was some rivalry. That's an interesting comment to make, because when people are not in right relationship with their father, they have an incredibly difficult time getting along with one another. Incredibly difficult. All right. Let us look today. Now, this story, again, is very familiar to all of you. Usually, we focus on the younger son. It's, in some ways, the happy part of the story. He goes away feeling very bad about his father, has some negative experiences far away, and says, Dad wasn't quite so bad after all. He comes back. It's a happy occasion. It's a wonderful thing. But fully, almost half of the story is actually about the other brother, the older son. And so today, this will be just part one of a series. Today, we're going to look at the older son in the parable. And we'll come back and look at the younger son, and we'll come back and look at the father, and some other details as we go. Now, I don't know how your translation reads at the outset of the story. One of the translations I was looking at says, Jesus continued. Jesus continued. Apparently, there's something in the original text that gives us an indication this was just flowing right along with the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. Yes, then he said, all right? But I propose to you that it's not just the lost son, singular. It is the lost sons. The lost sons. Just like the previous parable, we had two elements. The lost sheep was lost where? Far away. And the lost coin was lost where?
In the house.
In the house. Lost at home. We have in this parable two things lost. One lost far away, and one lost right at home. Right at home. So let us consider the parable in that light. Starting with verses 25 and 26, of course, the younger son has come home. They've killed the fatted calf. The party has begun. And verses 25 and 26, let's see. Who'd like to read for us? Those two verses. Ken, please.
Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant.
Okay. Now you catch that? The older son is out of the field. He doesn't recognize what is going on when he gets near the house. And so he calls someone to find out what is going on. I'd like you to take just a minute with the people near you to consider this question. What insight does it give us into the older son that he has to ask what's going on in the house? What insight does it give us into the older son, particularly into his relationship with his father, that he has to ask what's going on in the house? Go ahead and discuss that with the people near you for a moment or two.
This is C25.
house and he heard music. So he called to one of the servants and he asked what's going on. Your brother has come, and their father had killed the fatted calf. And the older brother became angry, and he refused to go. So his father went out and he said, look, all these years I have been faithful. He questioned
all right. Let me pull you back here. What insight into this son, and particularly into his relationship with his father, did we get just by noting the fact that he had to ask what was going on in the house? What insight into his relationship with his father? All right, Jerry says he didn't have any. That's an interesting comment. Why did you say he didn't have any?
He said that he became angry.
Right. We're not. I don't want to look down at those details too much yet. Just the fact that he had to ask what was going on. What does that tell you about his relationship with his father? Why does it say that to you?
He shouldn't have even had to ask. He should have known.
Okay. Explain to me a little bit more. What should he have known? This is a very good insight.
Most of the families know what's going on in their own families.
All right. And why should he have known, just because there's music and dancing coming out of the house, why should he have known what was going on in this particular context, in this particular story?
I just wonder if he had an idea.
Well, we'll come to that in just a moment, right?
Maybe he wasn't even home. Maybe he didn't know what occurred.
Well, you're right. He's been out in the field. And perhaps nobody sent for him, but I think Jerry's absolutely on to something, that this is an indication that he basically had no relationship with his father, because if he had known his father, when he came near the house and heard music and dancing, there's only one conclusion he could come to. I imagine the father's friends have been asking him for years now, hey, can we have New Year's at your house this year? Well, you know, ever since my son went away, I just don't have it in me to have a party at my house. You guys go on ahead. And when the older son came near the house and heard music and dancing in his father's house, how could he not know what was going on? Where was he all the time that his father was standing out on the porch, wringing his hands, looking down the road? How do we know the father was doing that, by the way? He saw him a long way off. We know the father wasn't getting anything done. He was.
The son saw that too. This older son saw what the father was doing, and I am sure that it really upset him.
Well, let's consider that possibility. Possibility number one is he doesn't know his father at all. He has no clue. Otherwise, he would know exactly what was happening in that house. There hasn't been an event like this in however many years his brother's been gone. If it's years, we don't know. And there's certainly no other event that could coax his dad to have a party other than the return of the son that he's been wringing his hands over since he left. He is the younger son. Well, that's one possible interpretation. In the eyes of the older son. Pardon?
Maybe he was just dirty.
Dirty.
He was out in the field and working, and he came in and he said, hey, what's going on? Can I go in or do I have to get cleaned up?
I suppose. But does he have to ask? Does he have to ask what's going on?
Well, they didn't send for him. So to me, that answers the question. I mean, you know, you'd get on the phone or whatever, send somebody out and get his brother, unless he knew he was beyond
We'll let some of those details.
You don't see, though, that they hadn't gone on with their lives and celebrated and had parties and enjoyed the family that they have.
There's not enough detail in the story. I'm extrapolating. I'm suggesting that he knew. Well, let's consider some more details. All right. Why does he ask a servant instead of his father? Why didn't he just go in the house? The younger son was dirty too. Why doesn't he just go in the house? Or why doesn't he call his dad out and ask him? Well, what indication do we have about his feelings about this whole affair?
His reaction.
His reaction is, what emotion?
Anger.
Anger. Now, Betty Lou, what were you thinking? You had started to say earlier, and I kind of slowed you down a little bit. What were you thinking about his understanding of what was happening in the house?
I think that he knew what was happening in the house, and I think that he became very angry because his father had always watched with his younger son, and the older brother was jealous of that because now he's the baby, dad likes him more than
he already gave him all the inheritance and sent him off, and now when he comes back, he doesn't deserve a welcome. You know, we should make him like one of the slaves. Or kick him out, or let him... hold on. Just stick with me on that point. So he knows what's going on in the house. So why wouldn't he go in?
He wants to see his brother.
He doesn't want to see his brother. He doesn't want to face his father. He doesn't want to be having to explain to people why he's not dancing, and singing, and celebrating, and feasting, and having a party. Because he couldn't stand what was going on in there. Now, in the bigger context of these stories and parables that we've been looking at, are you noting a theme? Ken?
Well, I hope I'm not.
It's all right.
But this is an exact parallel with sinners and the Pharisees.
Yes!
You got it.
The sinners are getting the message of God, and the Pharisees are ticked about it.
Yes.
They were going to party with Jesus.
And we've been back clear from Luke 14, the beginning of Luke 14, Jesus heals a man who had swelling on the Sabbath day in a Pharisee's house. And the one detail of the story that blew my mind is Jesus sends him away. I thought, why in the world would Jesus send him away? Well, it's because Jesus tells him, go home and find an appreciative audience for the great thing that's happened to you. Because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law here aren't going to give you nothing but dirty looks. They could not enjoy a party on the Sabbath day when Jesus had blessed someone. And that's been the theme. Jesus goes on and tells parable after parable. When you go to a party, here's how to enjoy yourself and behave. When you throw a party, here's how to make it enjoyable for other people. He says, you know, God is going to throw a party in the kingdom of heaven, but you guys are so bent on yourselves that you won't even come to it, even though it's being offered for you. And here, again, same theme. Something wonderful has happened. And some people don't know how to party. Lisa, did I see your hand? And he wanted to find out before he went in.
Yes, because you wouldn't ask the father if you thought the father was throwing you on if you had the servant.
That's interesting.
He said later that he'd never thrown you on.
Yes.
And where did they get the fact that he was out in the field? In the field or was it in the garden?
I don't know.
But he may have thought, he had suspicions, and thought, hey, there's something going on. And,
no one phoned me on my cell phone out in the field.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a surprise for me.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting insight.
Finally recognizing you.
Yes. It's about time. Very interesting. All right. So, some possibilities. We don't need to narrow it down. any more than that. But those are some possibilities. It's possible that he had no clue. But I think it's likelier that he suspected, either wrongly or rightly, what was going on. Now, if he was really clueless, then he thought the party was for himself. Not having observed his father and his sadness over his lost son all these years. Now, you remember when we looked at the parable of the lost sheep, it says there is more rejoicing in heaven, more, over one sinner who repents than over 99 safe that don't need repentance. More rejoicing. And so it's not that shocking that there wasn't a party every day for the son who was always at home. There's more rejoicing over the one that comes home. Anyway, but if he was really clueless, perhaps he thought, finally my father has recognized me as being deserving. How does the older son's attitude toward his younger brother compare with his father's attitude toward the younger brother?
He saw him from afar off and he
ran to meet him.
He ran to meet him.
But where was the older brother during all this?
Working hard.
Out working, slaving away in the fields. Didn't even know that his younger brother was home, let alone see him afar off. Can't deduce from the party going on in the house. Well, maybe he did. Oh, younger brother's home. So how would you characterize his attitude toward his younger brother? Well, potentially some jealousy, yes. About whether he ever came home or not.
In the contents here, that he didn't even recognize his own brother.
Possibly. You know, he was still outside the house. Yeah.
But he was filled with
hatred. He was angry over what was happening when his brother came home, rather than celebrating his brother. At the very least, right, he was indifferent. He didn't care if that guy ever came home.
Well, the farm had to be taken care of.
He was too busy to care whether his brother came home. Wow. At the very worst, he wished him to stay away. I'd like you to ask yourself, all right there. Oh, well, can we get some help? Okay, good luck. Church was not designed for kids that size.
That's just the way it goes. It's been right there about the time the kid starts crying.
Sorry, I missed the joke.
One thing that I thought of, Bruce, is if my brother had come home and somebody had come out in the field and tell me, I think I would have been angry about that.
Rather than angry that there was a celebration going on.
Yeah, but they should have let him know. But I still think that there's something at the beginning of this that I've never heard anybody touch on. There's a lot of jealousy. It says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Now, the older one was supposed to get most everything.
And it doesn't say that he divided it unfairly.
No. But was the younger one supposed to get as much? The older one was supposed to get everything.
No, it doesn't. The older one wasn't to get everything, but he got a double portion. If there were five kids, you didn't divide it in five pieces. You divided it in six pieces, and the older one got two.
Okay. But here it says he divided it.
It just says it doesn't tell us how he divided. We would assume, naturally, that he divided it appropriately. But it doesn't say.
But was it appropriate in the older brother?
Well, the question is, before he died, was it appropriate at all?
Yeah.
And we'll come to that when we look at the younger brother. All right. I'd like you just to ask yourself, how am I myself doing in this department? If you consider yourself a child of God, how concerned are you for God's lost children?
It depends on what they've done. Well, isn't that the truth? So many times, that's the way that the truth is.
Have you?
What they've done.
Yes, that sometimes is how we feel. Have you ever been unable to sleep at night because you were trying to think of ways to reach a lost child? And I'm not particularly wanting you to answer me. I'm wanting you to ask yourself, have I ever been unable to sleep at night out of concern for someone who had wandered off? Have you ever agonized in prayer over one lost soul? Is it a regular part of your experience? If someone knew you, someone close to you knew you, would they say this is a main attribute of your character? That you're standing out on the porch, if you will, of your spiritual life, looking a long way off? Do your finances reflect it? Are you invested monetarily in seeking the lost? Do you live more or less comfortably because you have that concern for God's other children? Or are you just so busy working? It doesn't pass through your mind all that often. You know, you can even be working in the Lord's field and have it not pass through your mind all that often. Looking at verse 28, what attitude does the older brother have about the celebration? Well, we just said this. He was angry, and what did he do? He refused to join the party. What did the father do? Yeah, he begged him, come and join the party. You'll be so much happier if you come in. What is the older son really getting angry about at the root of it? So he's getting angry that his father is, well, unfair perhaps. Pardon?
Giving away his position or letting him share it.
Potentially. But even at a raw sense that he's angry because his father's being nice to someone else.
Getting more attention.
All right, and maybe all the seeds of jealousy and so on in it.
He even goes right down into it. He associated with the prostitutes and everything else.
Oh yeah, he's got lots of lovely things to say about his brother.
He's got a whole bunch of
them. I just want to give you a little warning here. There are lots of things in this world to resent. Usually it's not a good idea. But especially, don't ever let yourself get caught resenting God being nice and showing love to someone else. This is the core of God's character. This is who He is. It is natural for Him to show mercy to sinners. And if I find myself resenting God showing mercy to a sinner, there's some things going on that are a little bit upsetting. What is happening in my heart? What is wrong with this picture if I'm upset with God showing mercy to someone else? What am I missing?
You're missing that you're the sinner too.
Hallelujah. I'm begrudging someone else something that I need very much myself. By the way, why did the older son, how could he miss that? How did he think a relationship with dad is supposed to work? What did he think was at the core of having love between him and his father? Of having a party and celebration over himself? What did he think makes that happen? Obviously, he didn't think it was spending all dad's money off in a foreign country on prostitutes and then coming home stinking like pigs.
No, because I've been working so hard all this time.
So he thought
that
if you want love from your father, if you want a party, you work, 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 work. And so what was his reason for doing all that work? He was trying to earn the reward. Trying to earn the reward. Crazy. Because then he was angry with somebody else who received the reward but had worked. When the reality is that he needed
some work done on
him. He needed to receive the reward not on the basis of work, just as badly as the other person. I've actually talked with people who say, well, I'm a nice guy. I take good care of people. If somebody needs anything, I'll help them out. As though then I deserve special consideration for God because I'm such a nice person. And God will overlook my bad attitude. God will overlook my bad behavior. Because I'm such a nice guy. God looks on the heart. And if I think that I'm such a nice guy that God owes me something, I'm deluded. I'm deluded. Look at this older son's attitude. What does he actually say to his father? In verses 29 and 30. Who'd like to read those for us?
And so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. What a nice son. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends.
Well, let's just pause there. We don't need 30 for the moment. All right, what claim does he make about his performance as a son? I've slaved for you, and I've been how obedient? Oh, I've been perfectly obedient to every command, except one. The father said, come into the party and celebrate with us. And he can stand there in his father's face and say, I have done everything you asked. While refusing to do what his father really wants. You know, Jesus, of course, is telling this story to the Pharisees and tax collectors Pharisees and teachers of the law who prided themselves on keeping his commandments. Except they fall short when he says, come into the party and celebrate lost sinners who repent with me. The older son may have physically carried out all of his father's orders. But where has his heart been the whole time? What's that? On himself? I think one of the reasons he's so angry about the younger brother coming home and getting the reward after going off to a far country and squandering everything with prostitutes is because that's where he wanted to be. And though he's physically been on the farm, his heart has been off in a far country doing all those things that his younger brother got away with and now gets to come home. I didn't get to do all those things. Oh, be very careful. Be very careful being jealous of people whose lives have been touched by sin and rebellion. I used to envy people who had they've been on various drugs and alcohol and all kinds of horrible things, because when they come to God, what a story they have to tell. I don't envy those people anymore. I've gotten enough of a glimpse from the outside to rejoice that in many ways I've been spared from so many of those things.
You wouldn't want to see it from the inside.
You're absolutely right, Paul. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Be very careful of being jealous. It's really sad when the father's children living at home with him are upset because other people get to go out and destroy their lives in sin and then come home again and claim grace. I wouldn't trade with them for anything. The older brother says, "Here I've been slaving, working hard in your fields, obeyed all your commands, yet you've never even given me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." Look at the father's response. What does the father say to him? "Son, you've always been with me, and everything I have is already yours." The older brother could have taken a goat anytime he wanted to and gone off and had as many parties as he wanted to.
But he didn't want to do it without his father's okay.
He didn't understand that it was already his, that he was living in a house of celebration. And so he didn't celebrate. He didn't understand it was cause for celebration just to live in his father's house. And so he didn't celebrate. He figured, "I need to work really hard and earn it before I can have a party." But his father says, "It's always party time in my house. And you live here. What's stopping you? What's stopping you?" Are you living in the joy that is found no other place than in God's presence today? Yes. What a crazy thing to be jealous. To be jealous of somebody who gets to go off and destroy their lives. Yes. But how many Christians are living underprivileged lives? They go around moping, "Well, God's commandments are so burdensome. And, you know, he says you can't do this and you can't do that. But I guess it's worth it in the end, so I'll struggle through somehow." Oh, and if it's not great for me to be with the Father now and not cause for celebration for me to be with the Father now. Karina, that's electronic equipment she's dragging on there. Yeah. If it's not great to be with the Father now, what makes me think I'm going to be excited to be with the Father in the end? If the restrictions God places on my life are a bummer now, what makes me think I'm going to enjoy those restrictions for eternity with Him? I'm fooling myself if I think that's the case. So are you living in the joy that is found in God's presence, even now, as it is your privilege to do, as sons and daughters of God? Or are you lost at home? Your heart out of harmony with God's care for lost sinners? Your envy pursuing those whom you really have no reason to envy? I'd like to suggest a couple responses for you this morning. Pray that God will unite your heart with His and fill you with joy in His presence, to help you understand what it means to be a son at home with Dad. Pray that God will unite your heart with His in His care and love for the lost, that He will give you the same hand-wringing concern over those that are far off or maybe near at hand. You might even consider prayer walking your neighborhood, praying that God will bring blessing to those people and will show you how to care and love for them the way that He does. Just some suggestions. I'll leave it with you to apply whatever is most appropriate for you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we need You so much to be our Father. And we need so much to be Your children, raised up in Your likeness, learning to care about what You care about, recognizing how rich we are just to know You and walk and live with You in Your house. Give us each what we most need as we seek to draw near to You. Amen.